Grace and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Life passes by so quickly that sometimes we need people to help us see, to truly see what is happening around us. And artists can do that. Pick up their paper and pencil and capture a moment. Sketch it so that we can stop and see it, and in seeing it, appreciate it. Consider the drawing for today by Pastor Faye for our sermon this morning, the middle panel of our triptych. Take a moment to look at this creature that rests in the palm of a hand. It's a mayfly, and mayflies are momentary. They are creatures of the moment. Born in the water, they swim to a rock or a plant. There they grow wings and fly to another location, only to molt again into adults. And then once they are adults, they live only a day or two. Their mouths are actually non-functional. They do not need to eat, for they live only briefly. They live, they fly, they mate, they die, in a day or two at the most. And yet there it is, a mayfly in the palm of a hand. It wasn't there yesterday, it won't be there tomorrow, but for now, someone holds this creature and is drawn into the momentary wonder of God's creation. The prism of glass gives off a spectrum of light, and a rainbow surrounds the mayfly. I'd like for you to think about that image. A rainbow surrounds a creature in the palm of your hand. Often when we see rainbows, the last thing we think about is the momentary mayfly. Our culture has taken the rainbow and used it as a symbol for gay rights. We just finished Gay Pride Month last month. Before that, the rainbow was popularly associated with leprechauns. Remember Lucky Charms? General Mills was playing with the myth of a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. Rights, gold, so much can lie underneath a rainbow. But what happens when we reach back into Scripture and listen to the Word of God? What we'll discover is that God has given us the rainbow in order that we might see something else. Not gay rights, not gold, but life, created life, protected by God, even though we rarely see it, and even though it may last only a day. The mayfly still has value in the sight of God. Not a sparrow falls, Jesus says, not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from your Father. God has placed that which he treasures, his creatures, into our hands, and he has given us a rainbow in order that we might see this great gift. In order that we might remember his covenant that he made with all living beings. In the image, the rainbow surrounds the momentary mayfly in the palm of a hand. This reminds us that we care for God's creatures. In our text from Genesis this morning, something similar happens. God reminds us of his covenant with all living creatures, so that we treasure the life that God places into our hands. This morning, we will consider our text from Genesis in order that we might care for God's creatures. Faithfully, responsibly. My prayer is that we will live in caring consumption as part of God's community of creatures here on earth. Our text this morning opens with Noah standing on ground that is still damp with the wrath of God. God has looked from heaven, seen the wickedness deep within the heart of humans, seen how we have fought and killed one another, and he sent the flood of his judgment upon all of creation. He flooded the earth and saved Noah, his family, and the animals that Noah had gathered onto the ark. And now God takes Noah and back to the memory of Eden, back to the moment when God first placed Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden and called them to care for creation. Be fruitful and multiply, God said. Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its roots. You shall have them for food. And that's what God said to Adam and Eve in Eden. But now, as Noah stands there at the dawn of this new creation, God recalls that memory. He sends Noah to care for the world. But this time, however, God's words are a little different. This time, in addition to giving the green plants for food, God also gives animals for food. He says, "The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you." There's now a strain on our relationship with the animals of this world. Now they are afraid of us, and well, they should be, because God has given them to us for food. God has given us the animal kingdom for food, but he also wants us to be aware of something. He wants us to be aware of the wonder of this gift. Now, it would be easy to see the animal kingdom as something we can simply use indiscriminately for our selfish passions. We could cultivate a taste for shark fin soup and overlook the fact that our culinary desires are causing ecological harm. Sharks are finned and then dropped back into the ocean. Without fins, unable to swim, they sink to the bottom and die. From 2000 to 2013, we were killing about 100 million sharks a year. Since sharks mature so slowly and have a low reproductive rate, our desire for this delicacy was driving an animal to extinction. The loss of this major predator means more than the loss of shark fin soup on the menu. It would also reshape marine communities. Now, I assume that most of you have not had shark fin soup, but you've probably eaten chicken, or beef, or pork. When was the last time you considered how these animals are being treated? Our text reminds us this morning that all of the animals we eat are brought to life by God and cared for by God. That's the other teaching of this text. God places fear in the hearts of the animals, but he also seeks to place love in the hearts of humans. Notice what God does in this text. After God gives animals to humans for food, he reminds Noah of the divine gift of life. God tells Noah that he shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. God wants us to know that life is sacred. The lives of humans, the lives of animals, all life belongs to God. Those who take a human life will have their life taken. And although humans can take the lives of animals, they do so recognizing that life is a gift of God. Not only does God remind Noah of the divine gift of life, but God then also makes a covenant with all of created life. Not just with Noah, but with all of life. This is the covenant, or this is the part of the story we often remember. God placed a rainbow in the sky as a sign of this covenant. God will never again destroy life by the waters of a flood. what's interesting is that God makes this covenant with all living creatures, not just with the human creatures, but with all of life. Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you. God's covenant is not just with humans, but also with the creatures of this world. God cares for them. When God sees the rainbow in the clouds, he remembers his everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God has offered us a gift, the gift of animals for food, and yet he calls us to treasure that gift with him. In this way, God weaves together care and consumption. On the one hand, he delivers all animals into our hands, and yet on the other, he establishes a covenant with all animals on earth. This life God pictures for Noah, for Abraham, for Isaac and Jacob, for Peter and Paul, for me and for you, all is a life of caring consumption. We care for the animals that God has given us, even as we consume some animals as God's provision of food. Care and consumption are woven together in a life of faithful responsibility. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to tear apart what God has joined together. God's brought us into a life of caring consumption, but we can destroy that life. We can make it only about care or only about consumption, but not about both. Some of you may have been uneasy when I was talking about shark fin soup. Could have sounded like I was bringing a political agenda into the pulpit, like I was becoming a raving environmentalist. Isn't it sad that we can't talk about the care of creation without generating that fear? I think that's because there are so few Christian voices talking about care of creation. When we hear a Christian talk about it, other voices ring in our ears and drown out what is said. For example, as I was talking about shark fin soup, you may have overheard those who overemphasize care to the point where they deny consumption. When care is overemphasized to the point where the word of God is denied, when that is all you hear, unfortunately, some Christians tend to shift all the way over to the other side of the spectrum. They end up overemphasizing consumption to the point where they forget about care. We hear about chickens at industrialized farms that genetically manipulated to grow larger and faster than so that they can be slaughtered as early as 6 or 7 weeks. Their flesh grows faster than their skeletons or internal organs, which break down under the stress. Their beaks are removed to prevent fighting that results from their living conditions. We hear these reports and we don't listen, because the battle lines are drawn. It's either care or consumption, and after all, a person's gotta eat. Rather than work together to see how we might faithfully and responsibly live in caring consumption, we join the fray. We argue for care, we argue for consumption, or we simply ignore it all and separate our faith from daily life in God's creation. Yet God has placed us in the midst of creation, and he has called us to live here faithfully and responsibly, sharing life with all other creatures in the world that God has made. God values all of life, so much so that he not only sends a rainbow to remind us of his care, but he sends his son so that we may live in his care. When we lose sight of God's good design, God does not lose sight of us. He sees us in our sin, separated from the world as we consume but don't care, separated from one another as we fight about care and consumption, separated from God as we act as if faith does not have any relationship with how we live in this world. God sees us torn and separated, lost in our self-destruction, and he sends Jesus to bring about peace, wholeness, restored relationship with God and humans, restored relationship between humans and all of creation. Jesus Christ took on human flesh, borrowing our blood. He became the perfect sacrifice for sin. He took his life and offered it up to God that we might be forgiven, that our lives might be cared for by God, and that our torn relationships with him, with one another, and with the world might be made whole once again. What a blessing for us today to gather around God's word and sacrament, for us to hear God call us away from dividing the world into care or consumption, and call us back to a life of caring consumption in him. Caring consumption is how we rejoice in the gift of life from God. Life is about more than your clothes or the food you eat. It's about community, not just commodities. Relationships, not just resources. The goodness of creation, not just the goods. Think about Jesus appearing to his disciples after Easter. What's interesting is that Jesus comes in his human body. He did not use his human body as a resource, a commodity. He didn't take on human flesh, use it to bring about forgiveness, and then toss it away like nothing. Rather, he entered into community with us. He died for us, and when he rose from the dead, he rose with his body that he might live in relationship with us in the new creation. There we shall live in human flesh, in glorified bodies forever, creatures of God. Until that day, we live now in a relationship of caring consumption with all of creation. In a way, this text from Genesis is a prism that shines God's light upon our world. Yes, God has given us food for our table, but it is always part of a larger picture, a life of caring consumption. We see the food that we eat and the world that produced it. We see the waste that we make and the world that receives it. We are part of God's world. Giving, receiving, caring, consuming, a community of creatures who live in relationship to one another, surrounded by a promise, a rainbow, if you will, the eternal covenant of a loving God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.